Welcome to The Outpouring with Executive Pastor Bob Oliver of the New Covenant Church of Philadelphia.
We're continuing in our series, The Kingdom of Light. And we're going to look at a verse or some text in Luke chapter 11, verse 15 and 20. And then we'll build upon that. Luke 11. Beginning at verse 15. And for those of you who are taking notes, I'm going to give some references that you can look at later, but I'll give you kind of the summary so that we can keep it moving, but I'll give you the references so we can be like Bereans and search the scripture to see if those things that are said behind this sacred desk are so. But some of them, it's interesting, it's not everybody, in every crowd, some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Now these are people who are following him, but they say, they look at the miracle he had just healed, or cast out a demon that was a mute spirit. It was a mute spirit. Jesus cast it out, and because they weren't true believers, some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Verse 16. Others testing him. So some of them said something, and the others are testing him. We need a spirit of discernment when we're operating as ambassadors in the kingdom, because just as it was with Jesus, so it will be with us. They sought from him a sign from heaven. Do you think he gave them a sign? They missed it, right? The fact that he cast out a demon, but some of them said he does it by Beelzebub. In other words, he does it by the prince of darkness. If you look up Beelzebub, one of the descriptions is the prince of darkness. Jesus declared that he's the light of the world. So can you see light and darkness? Light and darkness. And here are people who know the Torah who say he did it by Beelzebub. Now these are the ones who are testing him, give a sign. But what does Jesus say? Verse 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom, see, this is about kingdoms now. You're going to see in this text clearly that Jesus says there are two kingdoms. There are two kingdoms. There are two fathers. The father of lies, right? Who's the father of lies? The devil. And the father who is truth. All of these things and all of life and all the decisions and all the issues of life that flow are from these binary things. There are many variables that make it look complicated, but God said, I want my people to know the simplicity of the gospel so that you can see through stuff, because there are so many people who are deceived because of appearances and the way things sound. We'll get to that more in a moment. He said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falls. This is important. Do you think the devil knows this? So if the devil's kingdom persists till this day, that means even demons stick together. And you know what they're together on? I need you to hear me. And trying to get the kingdom of God to be divided. Because I know I can't defeat God, but I can cause his people to self-destruct. That's what he wants. He wants us to self-destruct because he has no power to do it. His only power is deception. And so he deceives people. I'm talking about people who are earnest, people who mean well. And as we develop this text, you'll see how that works so that we'll be more patient with people. We'll help people come out of darkness into light when we understand these things. Are we together so far? Go to verse 18. Satan, see now, Jesus progressively gets to the point. Satan also is divided against himself. How will his kingdom stand? What is Jesus acknowledging here? That Satan has a kingdom. And do you see that in the text, or am I saying it? It's inferior, but everything that God does because he wants to be like God, he copycats. He mimics. So you don't know. Satan has ministers. Everything that God has because he wants to be like God. And that's how people get drawn away with different, I wanted to say that, but it's more than that, with religions that say God, but it's not the true God. Because there are gods and there's the true and living God. And people who are devout go after it. Yesterday, one of the things that we heard in a testimony, for those of you who weren't here, is that there was a young man on the street on Chu and Shelton who was witnessed to, and he received Jesus, but in fear. He said, because my father is a 5%er. And the 5%ers are the Islam version of the Pharisees. Very religious, very devout, but miss the truth that was right in front of them because of their religious dogma. I want you to know that the will of God for us is relationship. It's relationship, not just sacraments and religion. True religion is this, and undefiled, that you visit the widows and the fatherless. So I'm not saying all religion is bad, but I'm saying religion is what the devil uses to divide the people of God. Because if he can scatter us, and some go over here, some go over here, some go over here, all in the name of God. That's why Jesus says, I am the way. See, to clear up the confusion, there's only one way. You cannot get to the Father except by me. And he said, I am the door. Anyone who comes another way is a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber. He says, because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. Verse 19. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Jesus is wise. You don't want to tangle with Jesus. It's better to be on his side. Choose this day. Therefore, they will be your judges. He's saying, and when he's talking about sons, he's speaking about the nation because they claim Abraham is our father. So if you are the children of promise and you're the sons of promise, your children do exorcisms. And they do these things to get rid of demons. It was common in those days. He says, who do they do it by? See, the thing that probably threw them off, probably, is Jesus spoke one, come out, and it was out. They had potions and incense and holy water. Throw the water, Pastor Drew, like this. Run away. Come out. Get a little more water. Come out. And Jesus just said, come out of them. Come. And then it's gone. They see the power of God and they call it the work of the devil. Do you know how dangerous that is? There's only two unforgivable sins, and that's one of them. He said, you can blaspheme God, you can blaspheme the Son, but anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit shall not receive forgiveness. Why is that? Because the last agent of the Godhead in the earth today is the Holy Ghost. There's none coming behind him. When the four winds are wrapped up, that's it. Time is wrapped up. He says, so this is your last chance. If you are convicted by the Spirit, you need to follow that leading because he is our last line of defense. Are you with me? And so that's why that and unforgiveness. If I don't forgive, I can't be forgiven. That's another very important thing. It doesn't make sense to harbor unforgiveness because it's hurting you. And someone put it this way, it's like eating rat poison and expecting the other person to die. You don't want to consume it, it's toxic. Forgive, let it go. Even if you were wrong, let it go because it's your life. Verse 20. But if I cast out demons, this next line is important. By the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So now he talks about Satan's kingdom and the kingdom of God. Can everybody see that? If you see it, nod. I need to see how many people. So you see these two opposing kingdoms, and that's what we're up against. We're going to go a little deeper in a minute. But these people who were testing Jesus and talking to him, when he invoked the finger of God, if they knew the Torah, they knew what he was saying. In Exodus 8 and 18, I want you to write that down. We're not going to go there, but write it down. You can look later. This was after the third plague in Egypt. So when Moses went to Egypt, for those of you who may not be familiar, I just want to say briefly where this comes from, the context. When God said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and he wanted to deliver them from bondage, he said, I've seen your tears, I've heard your cries, and I've come down to deliver you. And Moses goes to Pharaoh, the meekest man in all the earth, and says, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh's like, who is your God that I should let his people go? And Moses calmly walks away, puts his staff in the Nile River, the stream that supplies water for all of Egypt. And it was filled with blood. Pharaoh still had a hard heart. He talked to his magicians and the people who counseled him. And he said, that's just a magician's trick. Don't worry about it. So then what happened was God commanded the frogs. And frogs were in the palace, and the frogs everywhere. And they're nasty reptiles. You don't want a frog. You get these warts. Somebody know about frogs. Warts all over you. Frogs everywhere, uncontrollable. And then he still didn't do it. Then there were lice everywhere. Everywhere that you have hair, there is lice. I just said that for descriptive purposes. Lice everywhere. That's uncomfortable. You got it? See, that's good. That means that it was uncomfortable. And at this point, the third plague, the magicians who were counseling Pharaoh said, this is the finger of God. What is the point? Jesus is trying to tell him that even those who were godless in Egypt, when they saw the work of God, they recognized it. You are seeing the works of God and you're attributing it to the devil. Even those who were already consumed by the devil. They were working from a place of the kingdom of darkness. They recognized the finger of God. He said, if what I do is by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come near you. Don't you think that would make them repent? But it didn't. Just as Pharaoh didn't repent, seven more plagues had to come before he let God's people go. And y'all know the 10th plague, God already drew us into that a little bit. It was the killing of all the firstborn, and Pharaoh only had one son who was precious to him, and his God couldn't deliver him. His God couldn't deliver him. But the God that we serve had one requirement. I need to see the blood. Where I see the blood, life, I'm going to spare the life. Where I see the blood, I'm going to spare life. That's why the blood of Jesus is so important in the life of the believer. It is life. And even our natural anatomy speaks to this. If my body was drained of all its blood, what would happen to me? I don't know why I use myself as that example. All y'all killing me, you're going to be dead. It's just the illustration. I ain't going nowhere. The blood. No, that's good. I just want to make sure we're together. Even the people who worked black magic recognized the finger of God. How is it then that people who read the Torah, who understand these cues, were resisting him? How is that? Let's go a little, can we go a little bit deeper? Okay, let's go to, first, I want one statement that Jesus made, because it's going to contrast what we do when we go deeper. The Gospel of John, chapter 1 and 9. Actually, John, the beloved, said this about Jesus, just that one verse. John 1 and 9. That was the what? If there is true light, that means there is false light. You follow me, Minister Howard? True light, there only can be true light if there's false light. If there's no false light, you don't need true light, you only need light. Are you with me? So John is saying he was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. What that means is everyone who's separated from the womb has the capacity to walk into the light. But John goes on to say that there are those who cannot comprehend the light. And what impacts my comprehension of the light? Because I love darkness, still using myself. This isn't true. This part I'm not going to use myself, because somebody going to say when they see the tape, there's a preacher saying he loves darkness. I don't want it misconstrued. I'm not worried about you, but this live stream sometimes gets interpreted differently in the social media realm. Are you with me? Y'all want to protect me, right? So he says that there are those who love darkness better than light. And when that happens, your comprehension is altered. And your ability to discern is dimmed. That means I'm more, as my spirit and flesh wrestle, it happens to every one of us. I don't care how spiritual you are, as long as there's breath in your body, it happens because they're contrary to one another. Light and darkness are going to be forces that come against each other because they're contrary. What that means is you love darkness rather than light. I would rather appease my flesh than follow the spirit. Are you with me? Are we together? The true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Unfortunately, there are a lot who reject it because they love darkness better than light. And why is that? Light is better. It exposes. Can you get me 2 Corinthians 11, and 14, while they're getting it, I'm going to give another illustration, tell you a little bit about my background and how I know so much about light and the effect of light. You ready for this? So when I was growing up, there were a lot of unwanted guests that entered our house at night. And if I get up and turn on the light, they scatter. Do y'all know those guests? Some of y'all bougie, you never had that. I ain't talking to the bougie folk, I'm talking to the folk. They scatter. And you know what? Almost always, they're trying to get my bread. But when I turn on the light, they scatter. And you know what remains, Deke? Is the bread. See, when the light of the world comes, there's a scattering of those in darkness, and what's left is the bread of life. Is the bread of life. I didn't just give that illustration so you could know how poor I was. There's a point to this. And so that's why we want the light to shine, so that there can be scattering of unwanted guests. Are you with me? Okay, that's enough Bob Oliver illustrations. I'm going to stick to the text. Second, whatever I could do to make it plain, I'm willing to be as self-deprecating as God wants me to be. God, use me any way you can. Nothing to hide. 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. All right, here, you ready for this? It says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Did you hear that? He does it by himself. He doesn't need someone else. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So there's a true light and there's a false light. If people are not walking in the true light, they're susceptible to a false light. That's how people fall into false religions and false doctrines. It's right here in the book. That's how it happens. And they're convicted. They're honest. 5 percenters. My brother was a 5 percenter for a minute, and he believed it. And he thought he had knowledge. He was talking about stuff that made no sense. I'm like, boy, you done lost your mind. Seriously, it was crazy, but he was still my brother. I never stopped loving him, never stopped praying for him. And the day came that God brought him out of darkness into light. And you know how that happens? You'll never win an argument with them because they're convinced that they're in the light and you're in the darkness. I stopped arguing with him. I just walked before him. And one day he said, big bruh, I was 18 months older than him. I miss that boy. He was 18 months older than him. And one of the worst days of my life was when I heard he died. But he said to me before he died, he was sick. He was gasping for air. It was troubling because of what I heard on the phone. He was in North Carolina. I still didn't expect him to die because I believe God. But he said, big bro, you have honestly walked a life that shows that you are saved. He said, there are a lot of people that I know who say they're saved, but their lifestyle says otherwise. Now, this is what he said. He said, and that caused me, just before I called you, I was on my knees. He said, I'm crying out to God. He gave up all that stuff that hindered him, smoking and drinking, smoking tobacco and weed and everything else and all that stuff. He said, I'm on my knees, bro. I'm praying now. You don't argue with people who've been deceived by the transforming of false life. What you do is you walk upright before them. That's how you win them over. God doesn't want us telling people what to do. He saves. I can't save. You can't save. Jesus saves. But if I walk in the light as he is in the light, they'll see the light and they'll want to come to the light. I know Everett going to say amen to that. He saw his mother walking upright and said, I want what my mother wants. That's what we want to be. We want to be exempt. I want what my mother has. We need to be examples. Don't get into debates. Don't argue. When they tried to test Jesus, did he argue with them? Because he knew who he was. It is futile to get into debates. Even with other believers who believe differently. We're not, the Bible instructs us, we are not to do that. It's unprofitable. Are you with me? So we're still talking about these two kingdoms. Satan has a kingdom, but what is he in charge of? What is he in charge of? That's a rhetorical question. I think I heard somebody say nothing. Nothing. Let's skip down with the time I have left. Two or three verses in 1 Kings chapter 22. For those who are taking notes, I want you to write down 1 Kings 22. I'm going to give you the summation, and then we're going to read a few verses, and we're going to close. There were two kings. This is when the kingdom, we're talking about kingdom. Somebody say the kingdom. The kingdom of Israel had divided, and there was Israel and Judah. And in Israel, there were 10 tribes. In Judah, there were two tribes. The northern tribe of Israel, the southern tribe of Judah. And remember what Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Even unbelievers understand that. What do I mean? There was a king named Ahab, and he had a wife whose name was Jezebel. One day, God is going to release me to speak on the spirit of Jezebel, because the spirit of Jezebel is not just promiscuous lust, it's control, it's a lot of things. And we're going to jump into that at some point when the Lord says so. But his wife had 850 prophets, 400 in one camp, 450 in another. And the king, Ahab, the king of Israel, realized that I've got some enemies that are stronger than me. I need to go to my brethren. And there was a king in Judah. His name was Jehoshaphat. Say Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was a man of God. He was like David and Hezekiah and those who walked upright before God. And Ahab said, I need you to covenant with me to go to war so that we can defeat our enemies. And he said, is there a man of God in Israel that we can talk to? And he started bringing Jezebel's prophets, and they all prophesied good, victory, victory, go, you shall overtake him. And because he was a man of God, he sensed, I hear them, I see their long robes. I hear what they're saying, Pastor Wangoi, but is there yet a man of God? He said, well, there's one. This guy, Micaiah. And here's what he said, literally. When you read 1 Kings chapter 22, he said, I hate him. I hate him because he always tells me what the Lord says, and it's never good. That one little verse helped me understand why, even if you're communicating the truth in love, that there's resistance and even antagonism. Because people want to hear what they want to hear so that they can stay where they are. That's what it means to have itching ears and heaping teachers to yourself. So what Hezekiah had were prophets because they were under the thumb of Jezebel. If they brought bad news, it was like the Barry Gordy version of The Wiz, don't you bring me no bad news. You don't bring no bad news in here. So he says, bring him. He said to Ahab, don't say that. Bring him and let him speak to us. So we're going to read these two verses. Then a spirit came forward. A spirit came forward. Now here's what Micaiah had a vision of the heavenly court. And you know what it's like, Minister Sample? It's like when Job, when God testified of Job's goodness, and it says, in the days that the sons of God came before God, Satan was among them. I want you to know, when you and I go before God, the accuser is among them. So it says, then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Who is him? Who is he going to persuade? He's going to persuade Ahab and those prophets. Not Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat heard the truth from Micaiah. So this is how people get dug in, even in the presence of the truth. Let's keep going. Next verse. The Lord, listen. I asked the question, who's in control? This will tell you. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, he's talking to that spirit. So he said, I will go out. Somebody say, go out. See, that's why we go out, because there are spirits who go out and broaden Omni. And if the people of God don't go out, it's only them who's delivering a message. Those who transform themselves to an angel of light. And it says, and his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. They're ministers of Satan, but they appear to be ministers of righteousness. Are you with me? Is this making sense? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Can you imagine? People who really think they're prophets and they got a lying spirit in their mouth. Now these people were the prophets, not of God, but the prophets of Jezebel. See, that's their problem. They focused on Jezebel. They were controlled by Jezebel. Nothing should control us but God, the Spirit of God. We shouldn't be under control of no flesh. No flesh. We want to be in the presence of God so much that no flesh glories in his sight. Not me, not you, not anyone. It's God who's directing us. It's God who orders our step. It's the Spirit of God that leads us. That is the spirit of truth. The true light. You want to walk in the true light? You must be led by the Spirit of truth. That's John 16. Write down the Gospel of John chapter 16 so we can put all this together. Time won't permit it today. I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Why did that spirit go before God? Because he needed permission from the heavenly court to do anything. There's nothing that happens on the earth in my life or your life, whether it's good or bad, that God doesn't allow. And God allowed this because they rejected the truth. I want you to read, write in your notes, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because that's the New Testament version of how the lying spirit goes out and God permits it. Because they, the Bible says, would not receive. They rejected the love of the truth. Let's land this plane. God said, you shall go out and you shall prevail. The kingdom of darkness was allowed to prevail only against the kingdom of darkness. Wasn't it clear? He said, you shall go and prevail and persuade him. And so King Ahab who was under the control of that spirit of Jezebel, would command his troops. But because Jehoshaphat was there and he heard from Micaiah, when he began to prophesy, he said this. He said, Ahab, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at you. I wouldn't even look at you, much less tell you. And he spoke the word of the Lord, and because of the righteous king, they prevailed, but they did it God's way. Can we learn from this? Even when the enemy comes in to try to gum up the works, the way of God will prevail. God allows them to prevail on this level, but God has us higher. We're on a higher level, on a higher plane, and God prevails. How do I know this? He says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell can only prevail inside the gates of hell, but it cannot prevail against his church. That's why the church goes out, because the enemy is prevailing in too many lives that God is not willing that they should perish. And Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. May our eyes be open. May we know the darkness from the light. Even if it's false light, may it appear as darkness to God's people. May every one of us be able to see and see and see and see beyond the natural and have the supernatural discernment that Jesus had. He knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. God says, you want to know someone's thoughts? Listen to what comes out of their mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We can discern. It's not about mysticism. You can know what's on the heart of someone. God wants us to be loving and patient, but bold. God wants us to prevail. We will prevail because the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Shall not prevail. The only prevailing is happening in darkness, not in the light. That's why you want to be found in the light. You want to walk in the light. You want to abide in the light. You want to stay with the true light, because there is a true light and there is a false light. It's darkness masquerading as light. It's only a masquerade. So how do we, and we'll save this for another time, but this is a question, begin to talk to God about it. How do we distinguish between the true light and that light and darkness that's masquerading as light? It's got to be practical. How do we, you and me, distinguish between the true light and that light that is darkness masquerading as light? I want you to ponder that. And the next time we go together, we're going to come together. Next time I'm up, I'm not up every week. We're going to search the scriptures together. Stand together with me. All of life is binary in the heavenlies. In our lives, they're complicated. There's black and white and there's gray. And truly, in our natural realm, probably 90% is gray. Why is there more gray than black and white? Even in the natural, based on what we just heard, why is there more gray than black or white and white? Because the gray is a combination of black and white. So light and darkness fuse together, captures the majority of our imaginations if we don't have the mind of Christ. Can you see that? The majority. Anyone will tell you, a social psychologist, a person who studies it scientifically, that most of life choices are in the gray. And that's why there's so much confusion and debate. But in the kingdom of God, it's clear. when you know the true light. But most of the world is caught up in the masquerade. That which is clearly darkness, people know to avoid that. Some people even run to that. So there's a small percentage that come to the true light. Could it be that that's what Jesus said, meant when he said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go therein, but narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life, and only few shall find them. You can reconcile the statistics of the smartest people of any generation by looking at the Word of God and understanding what it means. It's important to God in this season, in these perilous times, in these confusing times, that His children have clarity, because many are slipping into darkness. Many are yielding to their own desires. And it's not about our works, it's about Him. But it's about the recognition of who He is, because there's an imposter, there's an imitator, there's an accuser, there's one who knows that there's no kingdom that's divided that can stand. So He wants to divide us. That's why we ought to be closer together. He wants to create confusion. That's why we need clarity. He wants us to bring us down. That's why we pick each other up. Let's pray. Father, the entrance of your word gives light. It makes wise the simple. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Light the pathways of each one within the sound of my voice in this room and on the live stream, that we may never stumble into darkness. Help us detect it. Help us to see it. Help us to distinguish between the true light and that of an imposter. May we know you so well that we will never follow a stranger. May we never be self-righteous and pious as the Pharisees, because when we do that, we miss the truth and we become as the world, who hold our own truth rather than embracing the truth, Jesus, who is the Christ. And now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if today you would like to choose Him who wants to lead you for the rest of your life, who wants you to have life that is abundant, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand and we'll pray with you, and God will come and commune with you, and He will lead you in the way of everlasting. Is there one? Raise your hand if you're here today. He wants you to choose life. He puts before every one of us life and death. And it's not just physical death, it's separation from Him.
Thank you for joining us in service today. We pray that this ministry has been a blessing to you and your family. To give your gift of love and help keep this ministry on the air, visit nccop.church/giving for all of the ways that you can donate to the ministry. Thank you so much for your generosity, and God's blessings until we meet again.